Father, it's time for 7 o'clock Mass. An insistent knocking on the rectory door wakes me from a troubled sleep. My head is buzzing with a dull pressure and feels like it's stuffed with mattress wadding. I hear distant static, and my rumpled bed smells. I'm surprised to see I'm naked, as I've always worn pajamas. I pull on a bathrobe and make my way to the door. Father, are you going to say Mass this morning? Asks my new altar boy, Billy Graves. I'm a bit under the weather, Billy. Would you make my apologies to anyone in the church, and I'll resume daily Mass tomorrow if I feel better. Okay, Father, I hope you feel better, Billy answers, surprised I've not opened the door beyond a crack. I walk into the bathroom and relieve myself. I remember going into the kitchen and making a plate of cheese, cold cuts, and crackers that neither of us touched as she refilled our glasses. I try to remember her leaving, but can't. My bed exudes an unfamiliar, musky odor. Did we have sex? We can't have. I'm a Catholic priest sworn to celibacy. But through the fog of my first hangover, I see Ellen on top of me, with her back arched and her head tossed way back. Her breasts graze my chest. It's an image I'll recall many times when I make love alone. She's making a low noise that suggests pain. But I've never had sex before and have no understanding of my role in either her pleasure or her pain. I know myself well enough to doubt that I initiated this. Still, the familiar afterglow of masturbation suggests I've had sex with a woman for the first time. I'm confused and afraid. I've just been intimate with a woman I met in the confessional and am no longer celibate. I strip the bed, ball up the linen, and stuff it into the washing machine in the next room. Realizing I've no idea how the machine works, I step into the cramped shower stall nearby and turn on the water. The first splash of cold water feels good and gradually warms to a comfortable temperature. I imagine myself trying to wash away my sins like the early penitents in the lives of the saints. Dry now, and in my cassock and Roman collar, I pull the bedspread over my exposed mattress, fold my unused pajamas as Ma taught me, and lay them on the bed. In the kitchen, I drop two pieces of cottony bread into the toaster, depress the handle, and boil water for instant coffee. I've only been a priest for 18 months and have already broken my promise to God and my church. I see the note on the kitchen table, the folded edge of which is tucked under the sugar bowl. I sit down and open the note. I look at the bottom first, where it says only, Ellen. Father Pierre, I hope you enjoyed last night. In coming to talk with you, it was never my intent that we would sleep together. Please believe this. I'm not a wanton woman. And apart from my husband and the man I'm going to, you're the only other man I've ever made love with. I appreciated your hearing me out and your compassion. I'll do the penance you gave me every day. Your absolution is the greatest gift you could have ever given me. I'll stay in our faith, even as I know there are no priests who would ever forgive me for what I'm doing or for what we did last night. You must believe me when I say I never planned or imagined this. I was so struck by the sadness and loneliness of the life you described. My instincts to comfort you overwhelmed my better judgment and then turned sexual, which came as a surprise to both of us, I suspect. The gratitude and pleasure with which you received my caresses felt like permission for us to make love, which I've no wish to repeat, but will never forget. You're a kind and wonderful man. I don't expect our paths to ever cross again, but am grateful they did. I'm leaving tonight for Newton Mass, where I'll live out the rest of my life, I suspect. Thank you again for your compassion, forgiveness, and great kindness. I hope your life ahead is more joyful. Ellen.